massive wheel. Strange cousins from the west overstay the welcome.
Hey, this is the Friday Night Hangout. So I grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. Or if you're listening to podcasts, all you can do is hit rewind. All right, we got a nice panel tonight, small panel tonight, because why? It's raining outside, freezing rain for some of us for a few hours, and this is how we spend our February evening here. So let's start off in Dartmouth. We got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Get your storm chips.
Frankie says we're going to have a tough one on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday is going to be 80 centimeters, according to him. Mm.
Out in Wallace, Nova Scotia, Keith, KeithElliottStone.com. How's it going, buddy?
Going good, thanks, Jim.
Oh. You know, we've been missing you the last few weeks. You've been having a lot of connectivity issues trying to jump into the Hangout there. So.
That's right.
Yeah, hopefully look like get them resolved.
So. I have to ask, you're not using a Google Chromebook, are you?
No.
Okay. Because that's been the running joke.
Using a Chromebook to use Chrome. Hey, I'm in Halifax, Bedford, to be more precise. And the rest of the panelists, either they have work or they're on a trip down in New York.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Krista.
Yes, happy birthday, Krista. And they are with us in spirit. They tweeted a little while ago. All right, so let's do our usual routine is what we are drinking tonight. This is where we highlight some local craft beer. So I'll start. Keith, I got something from your neck of the woods. Got me a Tatamagush Deception Bay IPA, 6.2%. This is a West Coast IPA. This tastes like grapefruit when you drink it. Nice hoppy bitterness, a moderate dryness at the end. Very good beer. I think this is, well, one that's canned. I've been a big fan of the local breweries who are canning. And this is starting to become one of my favorites from Tatamagush.
It is one of their best.
Keith, what are you drinking then?
Out of the cellar, Old Fog Burner.
OFB.
Give me.
And that's a barley wine, 11.5% from Garrison Brewing. And you've had that in the cellar for what, a year?
Yep, about a year, and if anything, I don't know if this is possible, but it actually tastes a little more alcohol than before.
Interesting. What kind of taste? Quick notes that you can tell us what you you're getting from this barley wine. Obviously, heavy on the booze.
Heavy on the booze. You get the alcohol smell. You get the alcohol taste right off the bat, and then more of the malty taste is an aftertaste.
Oh, excellent. Can't wait for them to haul out. The 2016 edition. And Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
One that I've never heard of before. It's from a brewing company over in Dartmouth called Spindrift.
Yeah, they're in Burnside.
Yep, and it's their Coastal Lager.
Yes.
So just give an idea of the color that you get off that. Yep. So nice and clear. It's a 5% beer. It's good. I don't think there's anything, like if you were to ask me what specific taste I'm getting off it, I'm just simply going to say beer, because there's nothing really notable coming off of the tongue that would differentiate it from a lot of other products, but overall, not bad. Spindrift.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Kelly, the brewmaster, used to be at Garrison, so they were trying to make a East Coast lager, which meant a little bit more malt, so a little bit more sweetness than your traditional lager.
I can say that. Yeah.
So it's not bad. It's a good beer. So they should have a new one coming out soon here. So, well, that's okay. We can await with anticipation. But let's get on with the topics, folks. If you're watching live, you can interact with us with Twitter using the FN Hangout hashtag, or if you're watching on the YouTube page, just chat within the live chat, and I'll be making note of your comments and reading them off. Our first topic here is, if you didn't know this, how to properly claim a Tim Hortons prize. So for our U.S. viewers, Tim Hortons, the coffee donut chain here in Canada.
And patron saint.
Patron saint, and they're in some locations of New England and Michigan and all that. Anyway, this is Roll Up the Rim time. This is their promotion where you, after you drink your coffee, you roll up the rim of the paper cup, and you get prizes. Free coffee, free donuts, gift cards, a car, PlayStation 4, that kind of stuff.
Who's the big sponsor this year for them?
You know what? I had a coffee today, and I forgot to really look at the cup to see what was the big prize, because I don't win more than a donut, so I just not that into it.
Because historically speaking, it always seems to be a Toyota product, because either they're pushing the RAV4 or the Matrix, or the other big prize being a TV from Panasonic, because you always see Vieira splashed over on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Or the cup, I should say.
Trying to quickly find it here. But anyway, the reason why we want to mention the story that, now, for a lot of us, we just rip the winning piece of the rim. We don't really keep the cup for a donut or a coffee. But this one, I guess there's this rule, guys. I did not know this. If you won one of the big prizes, there's a pin on somewhere around the rim to validate. You're supposed to keep that too. Were you guys aware of a pin?
Did not know that. Well, then you never won a big prize, so.
That being said, I mean, yeah, unless you've ever come across one of the large ones, you would never know to look for that. I hope it's advertised well in the rim to do that action.
No, I don't know.
Where is it even? Like, do you have to roll up the rim to find it, or is it on the inside of the cup? Is it, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's somewhere else on the cup, around the rim. You have to keep the whole thing here. So.
You're making you work for it, guys.
Oh, my God. Oh, and now the question, the Honda Civic.
Let me just bring up the page here for people, and we can look at what you can get this year for Tim Hortons. You can get the, as Dan said, the 2016 Honda Civic. Not bad. Obviously, coffee and donuts. The $100 Tim card, which was the story that brought us the attention of the pin, so buyer beware. This is new, $5,000 CIBC prepaid cards. In LG 4K TVs. Not bad.
Now, I don't know if I heard any truth to this, but there was that rumor that said that the chance of winning is greater if you buy one in Quebec than it is in most of the other provinces. Have you heard any credence to that?
I've seen various stories over the years, just how they distribute the cups, and just it's just sheer volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the volume of cups. So. But Keith, have you heard any? You know, you must have heard the one that you have to get the extra large sizes because those are better odds of winning, right?
I've heard that, but I don't know. Is that been proven? Yeah.
It's funny, since I've been switching over to McDonald's coffee, I just don't really care that much to roll up the rim.
Every eighth cup is a winner, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. We're here on the live chat here. Mustang774, Mike from Newfoundland says here, Keith, that is cruel drinking fog burner in front of Dan.
It is. Don't worry, folks. Hey, I still have.
Get to know me. I'm cruel.
I still have one left in the cellar, aka the cupboard. So I'll bring it.
By the way,
out,
Dan.
Charlie.
Dan,
yes,
it's delicious.
A pox on thee!
All right, so the next Halifax story, folks, if you're watching us live, use Twitter and the hashtag FNHangout chat on the YouTube live chat. Greestain says, LOL. Greestain, good to see you, buddy, tonight. Let's move on to the next one here. It's another Halifax story, which is I don't know who this guy is. You can tell that I'm now becoming the next demographic above the most, you know, the prestigious one, where I don't know what Snapchat is really all about, and I don't know this guy here called Roosh V.
Okay, well, first of all, has your waistband of your pants up to your nipple line?
No, not yet. Getting close, though. Right. I'm looking back at pictures of my grandparents, and like, no, I'm still keeping it below the waistline. All right, Dan, this was one of your stories here, so can you tell us a little bit more about this Roosh V guy?
Okay, well, I don't know a lot about him, per se, but I've heard a lot of talk within the past couple of years about men's right activist groups, MRAs, and it's just guys that will, under the guise of being fair, saying that all these services are being given to women and that, and men don't get the same services, that they want to promote men's rights, which, as we all know and should fully understand, is full of bullshit. I am a firm believer of male white privilege, so I don't know why these guys are going off on this tangent of fact that they need to instill fairity, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, one of the guys of Roosh V, I don't know what his full name is, but he has a website called Return of the King. And I don't want to give credence to his website just because I don't know if he gets money every time you go to it. But anyway, it's just full of just the stupidest... I'm sorry, I have to swear. This is bullshit. The stupidest shit ever about just basically just lambasting women in general. And he's taking that attitude and trying to bring it to major cities across Canada to talk to men and just to pump up men's right activities. And a couple of the mayors, notably... Jim Watson, I think it is, in Ottawa. And our own Halifax have pretty much stepped up saying, you're not going to come into our cities and spew your hate. So
it sounds like he canceled these events because he could not guarantee the safety or privacy of the men who want to attend the event.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a good hint that, you know, you probably have a really bad idea and that you're a raving dipshit, but, you know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm. On the chat here, Greestain says here, Woosh V isn't an MRA. He calls himself a neo-masculinity.
Mm. Yeah. Still, a douchebag, any other name is still a douchebag.
Yeah, I don't get it. Now, it's funny that the story popped up this week where we had the Jean Gomeshi stuff going on this week, and I've not been keeping up at all. I can't decide whether or not I should read the updates on Vice or CBC. I don't know what has the more...
Or Canada Land.
Yes, or Canada Land. Greestain says here, and yeah, he's a bit of a whack job, but has been using the outrage to gather people to him. Kind of like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hate brings them all together.
But, again, I don't want to advertise his website as far as just giving clickbait and that, but it's just, it's full of just spewing feminism hate.
It's hateful bullshit is what it
is. And, yeah, it's just, it's terrible that we have to come down to this sort of stuff.
Well, the cops went to talk to him, and apparently it come to find out he lives in his mother's basement, which, you know, I would hope that she would, you know, beat him soundly around the ears with a broom or something, you know.
You hope so.
It's just such bullshit that I just can't even, how's this even, you know, happening?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on here. We don't have, we don't need to dwell on this guy here. Let's do the one more local story, and then we'll branch out to other stories here. We're going to talk about the goddamn ferry. That's right. We haven't talked about it for...
Is there like a ferry bell that we can ring, you know, or like a counter, like ding?
Got to be something.
Friday night hangout, ferry update, hour 47.
Yeah. Dramatic music cue, right? Let me do the newsroom kind of like turn to the camera.
You got to shuffle the papers in front of you.
So the Nova Scotia ferry from Yarmouth to Portland, we haven't talked about this in a little while because, quite frankly, we were just tired talking about it, about the train wreck. So since last time we spoke about this ferry, about 4 or 5 months ago, we got a new vendor, new supplier, Bay Ferries, the people who run the ferries to Newfoundland and Digby to St. John. They're going to run the contract for another 5 years or whatever. There's no boat, and they had until Christmas or end of December to find a boat. Still no boat. We have a story here that a U.S. tour bus company who had booked hotel rooms in Yarmouth for like 3 months for a couple days canceled because they had no idea what's going on with the boat, so why not cancel? And there's a secondary story from the local express.ca, which are the striking Chronicle Herald reporters. They're suggesting here that they're trying to get their hands on a U.S. Navy catamaran, another cat vessel.
Hang on to your lunch, kids.
I always have this fear whenever Canada goes out and buys a foreign nation's boats, because I can just think about the submarines that we got from the Brits.
My big concern here is that it's the overall reputation, trying to restart a service, no vessel secured, and we're only like, it's too late now for tourism ads. The tourism ads and travel guides were finalized before Christmas, going to print now. The tour buses, they're not running, they're not going to be running. If they do manage to get a boat operating this year, what are the numbers? And, of course, that's going to make the news every week. They're going
to be negative all year long.
Exactly. And then it's like,
people would rather panic than do it properly.
Yeah.
And the worst part, this is a perfect year for it, too, considering how low the Canadian dollar is. Like, if everyone entices American visitors, this is the year to do it. Yeah. They blew it.
I don't know if it was... I'm just throwing out stuff. I don't know if it was just easier to buy the boat, that Novastar, and give it to an operator to run it, to say, here's your boat, kind of like they did with the Blue Nose. Here's a boat. Maybe find someone to operate it. See if this works. I don't know if that would have been better or not. I don't know. Seems like... We're not told how much money they threw in. They're throwing in for this new venture or this new provider, but
Viking longboats, boys.
No. I'm saying they should start up the Yarmouth catapult. Just forget the catamaran. Do the catapult. Just lob people back and forth.
No, let's use carbon nanotubes and build a really long zip line.
Yes. Or space elevators.
Now you're talking. All right, folks, if you're watching live, the FN Hangout on Twitter or the live chat on YouTube here. On Twitter, Badass Johnny says here, a USA warship for a ferry would be cool. I use it just to check it out. Indeed, it would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just a catamaran, so it's a little bit different. But
that still would be cool.
It still would be cool. You still get the pieces that you would know that what it was built for, right, originally. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Next topic here, which is... it's been 100 years. This is one that Keith kind of mentioned on Twitter, and I said, hey, this is a really cool story. Keith, did you want to talk a little bit about it, or...?
I just know the basics of it, really, that it was 100 years ago that the Parliament building burnt. And that, there's not a lot of pictures of the old Parliament building if you try to look them up online. And the Parliament building that we have now is composed, it has a lot of Wallace sandstone in it, actually, in the Peace Tower and in some of the carvings inside and the coats of arms. I think, as a casual observer, I think they kind of changed the way they rebuilt it, and the fact that the old building was a lot of lacquered wood. If you read about how the fire started, it was a lot of lacquered wood and curtains and paper hanging about, and now the new building is a lot more stone incorporated into it. Mm.
So we're talking about the Canadian Parliament building in Ottawa. So it's 100 years since the Parliament burnt down. And there's a picture of the original center block. And the only building that survived was the library,
mm-hmm.
which at the time when it was built, the librarian insisted that fire doors be installed or built in the library. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons why that building survived.
And did that man get a bonus?
Well, probably,
probably not.
But there were people that died in the fire. There was a number of people who died in the fire. Like in February in Ottawa is cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite the thing. And they moved to what is now the Canadian Museum of Nature to continue working of Parliament the next 4 years until they rebuilt the new center block and the new Peace Tower that we know now. So
now,
I like that they said a painting of Queen Victoria, that they cut it out of its frame and ran out of the building with it, and they said it survived 4 fires or something like that.
Wow. Wow.
I'd love to know the story behind that painting, if nothing else.
Oh. Now, the amazing thing, too, is the look of the previous one, that it has it looks totally bizarre compared to what you've always pictured Parliament to mean in your mind. Like, it looks like Parliament building, but it's like from like some sort of like Mephisto world or whatever, some sort of...
It's just off, like, yeah.
It's like, you know...
Yeah,
especially the tower itself. It almost has like, in black and white, it has a sort of like a Russian feel to it, like one of those Russian spires almost, like a small version of it.
So anyway, that's always pretty cool here. We got Andy with us tonight. How's it going, Andy?
Hey. Hi. Sorry I'm late.
No worries. No worries. Andy in Quebec City. Hey, just wondering where the... Well, actually, you know what? Great timing. It is that time where we revisit what we're drinking tonight. I'll start out with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking Tatamagoosh Bruins Deception Bay IPA. A nice West Coast IPA, so very heavy on the grapefruit. Nice dryness afterwards in your mouth. Very good stuff. Keith, what are you drinking?
Oh, I know what he's drinking.
Dan knows what I'm drinking.
Oh, I know what you're drinking.
Harrison, Old Fog Burner.
Yeah.
11.5%. Love it.
Fantastic barley wine. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
I moved on to beer numero deux, and I've gone for the simplicity of an Irish Red from Garrison.
All right.
So it's a decent red. Just I wouldn't say anything extravagant about it. Let's just say with those two bottles of beer I've had today, my beer tap was pretty cheap today.
It's still good. It's pretty good. Good selection. Yeah. Andy, what are you drinking? Oh, is Andy still there? Oh, he froze for a little bit. Oh, the setup. It's giving him the big setup and some technical issues.
We're getting scroogled.
Oh, hopefully we can jump back in. All right, let's move on to the next story here. Actually, let's do a quick little look on the YouTube live chat here. Mike there is saying that he was saying there that the old tower looked pretty odd. And he was saying here, I think that Canadian tourism should be very good this year, and I think there would be many more people staying in Canada this year with the low dollar, talking about the U.S. tourism. Mm-hmm. Grease stain, kind of liking our idea here. Can we zip line to a better place than Portland, Maine? With my nanotube.
Well, I don't think you can zip line to a crane in New York right now.
No. Oh, did you guys see that video? Dan was asking me, and yes, I did see. Did you see it, Keith?
I saw the collapse video that the guy took from up in his apartment or his office. That was
Jeez.
Just have to stand back and watch.
I'll see if I can find it here a little bit later. But we got another video here that I want to show here. Now, I usually don't show trail cam videos, but this one is actually pretty interesting. This is video of... Well, apparently it's supposed to be the only known wild jaguar in the U.S. There's only been like 3 sightings in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. This is in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I had no idea jaguars would be so far up.
No, me either. Wow, that's, well, you know.
Well, if it is coming from Mexico, then it should be a jaguar, first of all. As I know from the trips I've done to Mexico, they have a hard time pronouncing the J in jaguar. Or it's just us throwing stuff into it. I don't know.
Anyway, so that was... I thought that was really cool.
I'm just amazed by the amount of, like, webcam footage they're able to get of this creature.
Well, you know, these trail cameras, you know, people have been going to Cabela's buying these trail cams and putting them on trees, and those things are just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably get one and put one in the back of my house and see what I capture. Keith, you should put one in the back of your house and show us all the bears that go behind your place
at night. Yeah, bears and foxes and all that good stuff, yeah.
Andy's back. Andy, did you get a chance to see that jaguar in Arizona on YouTube?
No, I didn't, but that's pretty neat. I didn't, like you said, I didn't realize they were that far north. I heard Florida had some, but not Arizona.
No idea. Where are you drinking, Andy, since we got you back
in? Well, I'm kind of sad to say it's just kind of a local mass-produced beer, La Belle Gueule. They've got a few varieties. I'm drinking La Russe tonight, or a red beer. So, unfortunately, sorry.
No, that's okay. Dan's drinking a Garrison Red himself. So,
is that sort of like equivalent of an Olin's, like a Quebec City Olin's?
Yeah, it's just kind of something that's, I think, produced in the province. I haven't seen it elsewhere, and it's pretty cheap at the local Dépanneur. So, just stop by after work and grab a case, and that's what I'm drinking tonight.
Oh, man, I can't tell you the amount of stories when I was living in Montreal, getting off the bus, stopping at the Provigo or Dépanneur, or in this case, Provigo, getting one of those barbecue chickens off the rack.
The Cousteau.
And getting one of those big Bubba cans of, like, Labatt, you know, getting, like, a 50 or a Molson X, these humongous cans, and just stuffing all that in my backpack and just keep walking to the apartment, so... Surprise, my backpack didn't smell of chicken. but the other story, the other big video that we're talking about is the one from New York, the crane here. And for people who haven't quite seen it yet, I'm going to try to find it here for you.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about like a little like a 10-story crane. This is a massive crane in the middle of the city.
500 feet.
Yeah.
They added an extension to it yesterday too, apparently.
Yeah.
That's almost unfathomably huge. I mean.
All right, here we go. I found it here. Let's get that here. Hopefully we can see a little bit of it. I mean, there's that crane. I mean, he's high up.
Yeah.
One person killed and 3 others injured, eh?
They were trying to secure it at the time, I think, when it fell over, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
It's just fortunate, the fact that it wasn't even more fatalities.
Oh.
Crazy. Yeah, apparently they had people, they were directing traffic and directing people out of the way, but I mean...
That's crazy. That's the one thing you don't want to see. And I was just saying that, you know, there's a lot of cranes in Halifax right now with a lot of construction and stuff. And you see, you know, on a breezy day, you see these cranes just rocking back and forth. And you're wondering, is Buddy just sitting in the bucket up there? Or I would not be very confident of the structure.
You better climb all the way up there with your lunch, and you're up there, man. I don't know what they have to do when they have to pee, but... Wow.
I'll probably bring the empty milk jug and.
Not my idea of a great day at work, but anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because I got two cranes in my building on my floor. There's two construction sites, so there's two crane set apparatuses. I never see Buddy climb up into the crane or come back down. I never see him. I don't know if he exists or he just sleeps there or he zips line it or Spider-Man and it's off the buildings, or I don't know what he does.
But I mean, it's a terrible thing about the desk, but you have to say like the safety of these things, because how often do you actually hear of them falling down or causing harm or something? So
I think how many of them are in the sky in New York at any one time?
Oh yeah.
And apparently they have to secure them after the wind gets so strong. They all have to secure them.
Oh yeah.
So
you don't see them securing them around here, and we got some nice gusty breezes too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. But it's true, like. That is really the first time I've seen a crane just collapse. I've never really heard of it before. So,
I mean, I've seen a video footage of it when crumpling, but never anything like that.
Makes you want to look back and do a 99% invisible story about cranes.
There might be one. I don't know.
Give it a week or two.
Actually, you know what? There was a story here that I retweeted here. I didn't get a chance to share with you guys, but let me try to find it here. But basically, there was some research here. The U.S. Department of Transportation, they have decided to do away with the new font that we see on highway signs. And in Nova Scotia, we've been seeing them the last couple years. And the name of this font is called Clearview. And it was supposed to pretend to increase visibility and all that stuff at night and distance. But really, after some research, basically when you replace a crappy worn sign with a brand new sign, you're going to see the sign better, period. Doesn't matter the font that you have on. So the DOT and the state, they're reverting back to their highway Gothic font. And let me just bring it up here. I have it here. I was just stalling so I can find the image so I can share with you guys. All right. So on the left, we have the old style font. And on the right, we have that new Clearview font, which if you look at some of the newer highway signs in Nova Scotia, you know that they use that same font. And I only bring this up because I just talked about 99% Invisible, the podcast. The first one that hooked me on the podcast was about highway signs and fonts. Very early episode a few years ago.
Fonts can make or break a business and a sign. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's unbelievable how many signs do not have any thought put into them at all for the money that's spent on them.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I can find that episode. It was a very interesting one about the highway signs. And then, of course, they have a related one about the New York subway system, the transit system, the topography for transit in New York.
Yeah.
The sign, you know, the subway signs and the arrows and all that stuff in the book. Somebody, I think, scanned the original spec book for the font. Very, very, very interesting. Fonts. Mike on the live chat. Hey, that that Jaguar looks pretty wild. But he also says here, the font on the right looks clear. I wish they could paint better lines on the roadways. Or use better paint that doesn't wash off.
Yeah.
Yes. Mike has it right on. When I first moved to Halifax years and years ago, that was my number one pet peeve, that in the rain, in the dark, you cannot see the lines on the roads, on the multiple lanes. And it drove me nuts because you're trying to drive around. And it's like, am I on two lanes, three lanes? Am I still in the merging lane? Like, it's just, oh. Sorry, rant off.
Oh my God, well, I agree with you. Driving on the roads in Nova Scotia or in Halifax when it's like a night like tonight, it's raining, it's the winter time, it gets dark quick, the roads are slick, you can't see nothing. You don't know what you're driving on.
Oh, a dark rainy night's about as bad as it gets, really. Yeah.
But to Andy's point, the paint that they're using, and they have said they're using a, i.e. cheaper paint, you know, you just don't see it well. As, you know, you drive in other jurisdictions and stuff, and you're able to see the lines just good, or they have other little tricks to, you know, to indent some maybe reflective strips, you know, for the median line.
You know, they could save money by stop putting up those goddamn wrong way signs on highways. This is the only province I've ever seen that in.
Well, I did see, I did go down Sackville Street one morning this week, and some lady decides to turn up from Argyle heading towards me on a one-way street, and she's like waving her hands saying like, I'm the one that did something wrong. You're the one that's going up a one-way street, lady.
Well, okay, one-way streets is one thing, but we're talking about a highway system. A highway.
Yeah, just but when they put in those new turnabouts and stuff on the exits, you know, you got people going the wrong way all of a sudden, and
I'm in circles. I'm going in reverse. I'm doing a Mr. Bean thing.
They could just put wrong way signs on the front of semi-trailers.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of call X number to tell about my driving.
Yeah.
Hey, Roger, GC Storm 1 on the live chat says here, hey, all, I started with a Yippie IPA from Picaroons, and I'm now having a Red Racer IPA for autism. Nice-looking wow. Can, good beer.
I'll have to look at that one. Is that just a short-term, like, for the month, or is it a special run?
Well, you know what? It must be something that was in the warehouse, because I do remember seeing them in my NSLC a couple months ago. So depending on warehousing and stuff, but Red Racer IPA is a good beer, and I notice some of the privates in town, they are carrying the other Red Racer brands or flavors, Copper and White IPA and all this other stuff, ESB and what have you. Cans, I tell you, craft beer in cans is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the way to go.
It's not as noisy in the recycling bin either.
No. Yeah, you can just throw the bag out the door in the morning.
I know.
You got to be careful. Make sure it doesn't break.
Yeah. Make sure it
doesn't leak.
They're great for camping, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Living in apartments, that's what I call the walk of shame, is when you're carrying your empty bottles back out to get recycled all through the hallways, and all you hear is click, 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 click.
You don't. You mean you don't do Edward beer hands? You know, you put it between your fingers and go clang, clang, clang.
They're just jam bottles, everybody. He's like jam.
Oh. All right, so I didn't have it here on the list here, but Dan did suggest another story, which I forgot to copy and paste.
Oh, okay. I know what you're
talking about. I am shocked by this, Dan. Can you give us a little bit more detail why this guy is getting harassed by furries?
Yeah, so Tony the Tiger, or the good people of Kellogg's, who are representing Tony the Tiger with his own Twitter account, he's getting lots of solicitations from furries for sexual pleasure, shall we say. And Kellogg's was going, haha, this is kind of funny, but seriously, guys, we're just here to promote good information about, you know, Frosted Flakes. And then it came to a point where Tony the Tiger's now saying, guys, can we cut this out? I mean, I'm just Tony the Tiger. But the funniest part is that Chester the Cheetah piped in and was like, hey, guys, I'm here too. Bring it on, furries!
Oh, shoot, kid. Oh, no.
So, if you got some time, just start going through the Tony the Tiger Twitter handle, and Chester the Cheetah, for that matter, and just enjoy the pleasure of the sensuous talk between them.
Well, you know where it's going to go. It's going to go, if everybody could piss off, that'd be great.
Yeah. And just for those who don't know what we're talking about when we say furries, these are individuals that find...
Google it.
erotic sensuality in animal costumes.
Maybe there's a safe Google image here that I can bring up.
Oh, God. Actually, there was an episode of CSI that involved furries. So yeah. There you go. Go through Netflix and find CSI, and there's a furries one. There you go.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about.
And sadly, the one thing I do know is that the act of having sex dressed as a furry is called yiffing. I don't know why I know that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I know that.
Check RSL, Google, or whatever it goes. I don't know, but I don't want to know anymore.
You know, I was just shocked that I saw, I think I saw it on Facebook, some odd feed on Facebook, about you were talking about different, like, strands of, you know, furries, but then there's the vac bed. You guys heard about this stuff?
The Wawa?
The vac bed. Keith? No. Help me out, buddy. Vac bed.
I haven't stumbled across that yet. I don't know what part of the dark web you're going to, Jim, but
well, it came from my Facebook for some
okay, yeah. Blame it on Mark.
That's the name of a show movie. Yeah,
I know.
TV movie that came from
I accidentally Facebook. Clicked on that link. Oh my.
Oh my.
You know, I started at Disney, wanted to watch Paw Patrol with my little girl, and two clicks later I'm in like freaking deep kink back bed. Darkness, right?
No, that's more than two clicks.
Hey, Jim, we're all good clicks. Cups, Jim. Come on now.
No, there's no two cups.
I'm talking about Paw Patrol. Oh. Is that,
one dog, two dog bowls.
YouTube. Just go on YouTube, vac bed, V-A-C bed. It is just the weirdest thing. I don't know. Can it be work safe? It could be work safe, but it's basically sheets of latex, and you vacuum out the air between the two layers. Makes no sense. I don't
know. So you're having sex pretending that you're
single. From what I've seen, there's no sex. You just put the person between the two layers, sheets of latex, and you just suck the air out. They can't move a little bit, and then you open it up with a Ziploc bag.
It's like a food saver.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, you're fresh when you wake up. You know, I could see having a shower. Listen, guys, I could see having a shower, getting all dried off, getting in that bed, and you get up the next day, and you're good to go, just like, fresh as a daisy.
It's like a human sous vide.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about sous vide stuff last week. Or it's like the poor person's oxygen bed. You know, to
keep, oh my God.
To seal in their age, or you know.
Oh my God! You realize as soon as you open up the seal net, the smell that must come out of there. Oh my God!
What have you deferred?
Terrible. It just billows out.
Or just break it, probably. I don't know. I don't want to know.
Freaking Oompa Loompa coming out of there.
Those things have to come with a wicked warranty. That's all I can say.
Hey, Grease Stain on the chat says, sounds like Rule 34.
Yes. Rule 34? I'm not familiar with that rule.
No, that's a 4chan rule. The Dark Web. Mike says here, the furries are a strange crowd. Dan, were you looking at the dark web again? I was on the dark web too, apparently.
Where did I get? Actually, no, that was via Reddit.
Reddit.
Yeah.
Reddit is Talk actually, about one click to the dark web. That's yeah. Reddit.
Speaking of Reddit, that's actually something I wanted to bring up because for those who don't know, Reddit has a subreddit called Halifax. So it's a good place to go if you just want to see people. It's sort of like going back to the old days of news groups and that, where people just post topics of conversations about Halifax there. And this was the first pick on the Halifax side, so bear with me. I'm just going to load up this picture. I thought it was really fascinating. Here we go. And apparently, the Hindenburg came to Halifax at one point.
It flew over here.
Yeah.
With the Nazi emblems and everything.
Yeah, all that. So someone clipped that circa July 4th, 1936 of the Hindenburg coming to Halifax. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Hmm. I wonder if that's the one where Indiana Jones and his dad were
Is it tied up at Citadel Hill? That almost looks like it's at Citadel Hill.
It might be. I don't know.
Oh yeah, look at that, the post, the masts, yeah, they're...
Yeah, it says it right down there. Passing close to the masts of the signal station of Citadel Hill.
Well, there you go. Okay, passing by. Neat.
Cool.
So, yeah, cool. Lots of really cool stuff. So if you ever get a chance, go to Reddit. So for those who don't know, you go to reddit.com/r/Halifax.
Or whatever words you want to put string together. They'll probably
just don't put like Halifax. And, oh yeah. Do not do space dicks. Do not do space dicks.
Oh, wow.
Let me do space dicks.
No. No. For the love of God, do not do space dicks. I will not be held responsible.
I'm not screen sharing it. Let me see here.
No.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, wait a minute. You must log in and have a verified email to view this community?
No, I think you have to click 18.
No, not this one. Now I'm intrigued.
Oh, this is going to become a reaction video. The Fine Brothers are going to come chasing us down now.
Communities are dedicated to shocking or highly offensive content are quarantined. Content in this community may be upsetting. Are you certain you want to continue? Hell yeah.
What? There's no Paw Patrol here. How did I get here?
What the hell is wrong with you people?
This is a very different Friday Night Hangouts from what I'm used to.
Yeah. So, please do not go to that subreddit. It's one of the subreddits that really should be wrapped between two pieces of latex and sealed.
To all the people listening on to this on the podcast version, don't back up and look for this. Just don't.
Now, I'm going to say this is a combination of 4chan, the Gorish site, Faces of Death, Live Leaks, all put together in a very sanitized way that once you click, you're presented with
this. Boom!
Boom!
Well. Yeah. So don't do that. Stick with slash bunnies. There you go.
On the live chat here, on the live chat, Greestein, he knows what he's talking. He knows about the dark web here. he says here. He says, Rule 34, we're going asking what was Rule 34. If it exists, there is porn of it.
Yeah. Oh,
whatever,
yes.
Whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he says that Jim has seen some old Rule 34, I think.
He has a Tumblr blog dedicated to it. Don't you worry.
Tumblr. Hey, let's quickly talk about... Okay, let's do our plus ones because we're pretty much at the end here. Plus ones is where anything in the folks who are watching and chatting, you might want to recommend something. Podcast, website, story that you read. You want to share that with us. My plus one today, it's a little bit different. It's not Rule 34, but it is about... the fitness trackers, so Fitbits, Garmin Forerunners, Apple Watches, the daily fitness trackers. Under Armour, the popular brand that you see at Cabela's for Mossy Oak and Safety Orange, they've been buying slowly but surely a number of fitness logging sites that a lot of runners, cyclists, and food journals users are using. They bought
Runtastic.
Matt Meyer Run, My Fitness Pal, and Modo, and probably a few others. So they got basically 160 million fitness users data that they've got. They partner with IBM Watson to try to understand some of the data that we share so that when you're using Under Armour's UA Record app, it might tell you, hey, it's 13 degrees Celsius in your area, Jim. You tend to run about 5K. This is the perfect weather for you to go out for a run today. Or you take a picture of your food and say, yeah, that's X number of calories that you're eating right now, you know, that kind of stuff. So they, Under Armour is really, they think that they can really surpass Nike. Because mm-hmm. Nike tried to do that whole fitness fuel ban and community and all that stuff. Didn't quite work. I've been using this Under Armour UA Record for a little while, and I think they're on to something. There's a new, they're launching some other devices, whatever. But you know, if you're into the whole fitness tracking, running, logging stuff online, and just trying to stay motivated, that might be something to check out. And the thing that triggered it was the latest Inc. Podcast. So, Inc. Magazine.
And I think I read it somewhere on The Verge that you can actually buy a sort of like a kit from Under Armour that has all their tech and software rolled into. Like, they have a smart scale,
yep,
the band, and there was another thing that you can get as a part of this kit.
Yeah, it's called, I think they call it the Health Box or whatever.
Yeah, the Health Box, that's yeah. it, yeah.
So, and you think about it, there's really no site, you know, there's all these sites that, you know, you send your fitness data, and Dan knows about this too because we're in the same run club. There's really no solution that kind of ties everything together, your food intake, your fitness, your daily activity, to give you potentially stuff like, so for example, one of the things that they were saying there, that Under Armour, with the data that they're already collecting, they know that the average length is around 5K. So maybe their shoes, they're going to design it for 5K running, you know, durability, you know, style, support, that kind of stuff, right? So
yeah, so I've pulled up this is from the Verge website. So they're talking about the Health Box, their own experience with the kit itself. So you can see there's the smart scale, and then the fitness band that goes along with it, followed by the chest sensor, and then something to go along with the shoes as well, to combine it all. But what they're saying is that the hardware itself is you know, equivalent to what's out there in the market. It's just the software that they're wrapping it all together is the key thing to it, the data mining.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing about this, you can plug in your other devices or other profiles to feed into it. So it'd be interesting to see where this goes. Kevin on the live chat says here, I've been using my tracks for hikes and bike rides. Google is shutting it down. Is Strava the next best option? Strava is really good for the bike rides, for the hikes. I think you just slap it on to like Garmin Adventures or the Garmin Cloud to save them somewhere.
Or the Zombie Run.
Yeah, the Zombie Run. Bedford. Is there a site, Zombie Run?
No, there's an app. Have you not seen this?
No, I know about the run. No, there's that run every year in Bedford here, the Zombie Run.
No, it's only it's from the UK. They created this app probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and the premise of it is that they came up with a storyline where you put the headphones on, and you're listening to it, and you can hear someone talking to you as if you're just landed in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, and they're giving you specific missions, like, okay, you got to run and grab medicine, and it's 3 kilometers away, and you're just, you know, you're doing your jogging at some points, and then suddenly you hear the person on the headphones saying, oh, they're coming behind you, you got to speed up right now, and then you start reacting to, yeah, there you go, Zombies Run. Start reacting to the story that's playing on your headphones. And there's a lot of people that find it really enjoying. Also, nice thing is, it is a free app. They used to pay for it, but now I think it's free, but it's one of those freemium model things. So if you want another app for running that's just different and fun, this is another option for you.
Okay, cool. All right. Who else has a plus one? Keith.
Something I'm looking forward to getting in the mail in the next week or two, I've been waiting for about a year, is the Rocket Book that came out through Indiegogo. It's a reusable notepad that you can pair with your smartphone, and it doesn't matter if you do a sketch on it, if you take notes on it or whatever, there's buttons on the bottom, and you can pair them with any of your apps that you use in the cloud, like Evernote or Dropbox. So whatever you do in your rocket book will be stored in the cloud. So I'm looking forward to trying that out and seeing if it's all that it's cracked up to be, because it could be very handy if it works the way they say it does. And it's reusable, so when you fill it up with your notes and you want to use it again, you have to use the special pen. I think it's called Pilot Frixian. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you stick it in the microwave, 30 seconds, pull it back out, all the pages are clean again.
Wow.
So it's a reusable paper notebook that has cloud capability. It's pretty neat.
Sorry, what's it called again?
Rocketbook Wave.
Rocketbook Wave.
Yeah, and
there's going to be more available later this year. They're going to fulfill their first obligations through through Indiegogo, and then they're going to make it public, I think.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like to try it out, because I mean, there's still a place where I have to do sketches or take quick notes. You know, it's faster than trying to pull out your smartphone in a sunny day, and you know.
Well, they blew by their goal. Their goal was 20,000, and they are already 111,000.
Andy, do you have a plus one for us?
Just caught a little bit off guard, but season 4, House of Lies, is on the Movie Network. If you're into that series at all, I'd have to say season 4 is an improvement over seasons 2 and 3, so check it out.
In House of Lies, I know what you're talking about, but can you give us a quick synopsis of what the show is about?
Yeah, so it's about a group of people. They're in a management consultant firm, and basically just the how they connive and lie their way to get the clients to give them their business and how they help them succeed. So it stars Don Cheadle and what's her name? Kristen Bell. So,
cool.
Yeah.
90% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that indicates that's a pretty good show then. Excellent. Dan, did we get a plus one for you yet?
No, but aside from, you know, my Reddit comments, which we don't have to go any further into, I know, especially for previous listeners of this podcast and YouTube page, our love for Serial runs deep. Not so much love for season 2 from most of the people here, but they really enjoyed the whole Adnan storyline. And I know with the move over to the new storyline involving Afghanistan, there's a lot of people that kind of shutted down their subscriptions to it. But for those who did cancel the subscriptions, wrap it up again, because there's some repeats of going back to things from season 1 coming back again, because apparently Adnan's back in court. So they've brought some segments back talking about what's going on with his case. So for those who want to know more information about the whole Adnan situation, resubscribe to Serial so you can keep up to what's going on with that.
All right. Excellent. And I was just going to bring up the, do this weekly thing since we started last week as of right now in Nova Scotia, we have 12,000 people without power.
12,000 still?
Well, last week we had like 50 or 60,000, but now we got 12,000 people without power. Chester, Colebrook, Stellarton, Windsor, and Yarmouth. So just a reminder, we do have some freezing rain and snow coming tonight, overnight. So,
and then there's also Tuesday. Get your storm chips.
Yes, get your storm chips.
I bought my first bag of storm chips, the branded Covered Bridge storm chips bag. This is the bag of chips where they mix 3 different brands in it. It was in Sobeys. I bought it. Brought it at work. Very good.
Is it good? Is it actually good?
Yeah, or
is
actually, it just... You're getting a handful of chips, and one of the chips you get the sea salt and vinegar, and then the next bite you get the barbecue, or the next bite you get the ketchup flavor, whatever flavor it is. So it's pretty neat.
Have so you it's like the Chicago style popcorn?
Oh my God, that is just deadly.
That is the just pick a 50-gallon drum of that and just leave it here.
Oh my God, that's the what the Cracker Jack caramel popcorn and
cheese
popcorn.
Cheese popcorn.
Cheese and caramel. Yeah, doesn't sound good, but it's.
Oh no, it's
good. It's ridiculous.
Good. Oh, people at the office brought that in around Christmas time. Ooh, deadly. Deadly. All right, we're at the hour mark, folks. We're going to cap it off for another evening. Thanks a lot to everybody who's been watching us and commenting. Really appreciate it. Thank you to the panel for jumping in. Keith, Dan, and Andy were able to get in, so really appreciate that. For those who are listening live, you can also replay. Podcast is coming up on the weekend. We do this every Friday, so good meeting, everybody.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good bleeding.